produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone listening to The Stash in Ireland and all over the world. We don't have any green beer for you today, so we'll just have to make do with some killer green buds. It's better for you anyway. We hope you enjoyed the debut of our weekend music stash. In case you missed it, Cannabis Carrie is putting together the last 10 songs from our daily shows and combining them into one weekend podcast for your partying pleasure. Tune in on the weekends and get your ganja groove on. As usual, on Monday here on The Stash, we've got our Reformers calendar right after the news. We'll also be speaking with Matt Simon from the New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense Marijuana Policy. Matt's got an important alert for activists in the Granite State. Our DJ Podsafe, Cannabis Carrie, takes us out to the Emerald Isle for a perfect St. Paddy's Day Toker's tune from a band called Celtic Tribe and a song called Pipe of Inspiration. Then we round things up with my interview of Kelly Maddie from Joplin Normal in Joplin, Missouri, as they champion a fine-only marijuana decriminalization initiative for the city. So sit back and relax with a little bit of the green. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Hemp Textiles Company thrives in Colorado. Glenwood Springs. It might be Glenwood Springs' biggest, but smallest business you've never heard of. Enviro Textiles specializes in textiles made from hemp plant fiber to make 100% hemp yarns. The company also sells textiles made of a mix of hemp and organic cotton, tencel, and silk. All products for Enviro Textiles are imported to its Glenwood Springs distribution center, where the company has its showroom and business offices. Its warehouse has more than 70 fabrics of various weaves and blends. Hemp is used to make clothing because the fiber is longer, stronger, and more absorbent, and provides more insulation than cotton fiber, according to the Hemp Industries Association, which represents the interests of the industry and encourages the research and development of new products. The plant, according to Hemp Industries, is better suited for the environment because it does not require pesticides and improves soil quality. The Hemp Industries Association estimates that the North American retail market for hemp textiles and fabrics exceeded $100 million in 2007 and is growing about 10% per year. Wow, that's a $100 million annual market that must be supplied completely by imports, since non-drug hemp is banned by our Drug Enforcement Administration. Meanwhile, American farmers are going bankrupt, looking for any profitable crop they can plant to earn a living. Prescription drugs being abused in record numbers. From the American Medical News. Prescription medications have become drugs of choice for abusers, young and old. According to the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, nearly 1 in 10 high school seniors admits to abusing pain medicines. Moreover, Office of National Drug Control Policy data indicate that each day an estimated 2,500 young people, ages 12 to 17, abuse such medications for the first time. More teens abuse prescription drugs than any illicit drug except marijuana. They report mixing these meds together, or with over-the-counter pills, cough syrups, or alcohol. The result can be respiratory failure or even death. Related emergency department visits, for instance, increased 21% from 2004 to 2005. Still, 40% of teens and an almost equal number of parents think abusing prescription painkillers is safer than abusing street drugs. But the problem reaches well beyond the teen years. An estimated 7 million Americans, by the DEA's count, abused prescription drugs in 2005, more than the number abusing cocaine, heroin, hallucinogens, ecstasy, and inhalants combined. That number was just 3.8 million in 2000. Misuse of painkillers represents the biggest slice. Among the reasons the problem is so pervasive is that access to the drugs is so easy. Although some abusers go to lengths such as doctor shopping or pharmacy theft to gain a fix, many abusers report that they get the meds from friends or relatives, or from raiding unused pills left forgotten in their homes. This is a natural extension of giving mixed messages to our children about drugs in our society. We bombard them with ad campaigns to just say no. Meanwhile, they're also bombarded with beer and liquor and pharmaceutical advertisements. We tell them that there's one class of drugs that are the bad drugs, and another class that are the good drugs, when some of the good ones are more harmful than the bad ones. We need to inform our children that every drug, legal or illegal, can be abused and can be harmful, and to provide our kids with factual information about the risks of each. Most Southwest Michigan lawmakers oppose medical marijuana. Kalamazoo, Michigan. For 5 years, State Senator Tom George worked for Hospice of Greater Kalamazoo, sometimes prescribing a synthetic form of marijuana called Marinol to help ease a person's pain or discomfort. But George, an anesthesiologist, opposes a ballot proposal that seeks to legalize marijuana use in Michigan for those seriously ill. State Representative Fulton Sheen, a conservative Republican, opposed medical marijuana use until he heard testimony from people who said they got relief from debilitating conditions by using the herb. He now supports the initiative, which could appear on the November 4th ballot. Of southwestern Michigan's 10 state lawmakers, 7 said they oppose legalizing the use of marijuana for medical purposes. Quote, "Marijuana is illegal for a reason," State Senator Ron Jelinek said. "Its legalization, even for medical reasons, would denigrate our society eventually. Using marijuana is akin to a self-induced mental illness," end quote. State Representatives Robert Jones, Democrat of Kalamazoo, and Sheen, Republican of Plainwell, supported the initiative. They said those seriously ill should have marijuana as a treatment option if it helps and is properly regulated. Quote, "The right story needs to be told by the right people," Jones said. "We can't be afraid of this as a society. Marijuana is a legitimate treatment for those suffering from serious diseases," end quote. In the 1990s, Sheen's brother, who had contracted AIDS, was dying. In the final months of his life, he smoked marijuana, which helped him to breathe and swallow easier, Sheen said. Quote, "Although I didn't agree with what he was doing at the time, it helped him," Sheen said. "But now my mind has been changed," end quote. Leaders from the Senate and the House have said they don't expect legislative action on the proposal. Governor Jennifer Granholm opposes it. The proposal calls for registered medical users to keep the marijuana in a secure, locked location. Users who give or sell their marijuana to those who are not authorized to have it could be subject to stiff fines and possible jail time. Users also would have to register themselves with the state and carry a state-issued ID card indicating they are a registered medical user. Even with such controls, some lawmakers question how effective enforcement and regulation will be, especially if the number of medical marijuana users increases. Quote, "There are other options out there for very sick people besides marijuana. By not supporting this, it's not like we're denying a dying patient relief," end quote, said State Representative Jack Hoogendyke, who recently announced he will challenge Democratic Senator Carl Levin in the United States Senate. Well, this story illustrates why it is so important for you to call your elected officials. Those who have family who've used medical marijuana seem most supportive of the issue, followed by those who have been contacted by their constituents, but as you can see, much more needs to be done to convince the reluctant legislators who still fear the gateway effect and other reefer madness. The number one thing you can do to end cannabis prohibition for responsible adults is to get involved with the activists and organizations in your local area. Get your date book ready to jot down these important events on our normal daily audio stashes, Reformers Calendar. This is your Reformers Calendar for March 17th, 2008. If you have news and events you'd like mentioned on our Monday Reformers Calendar, please send your press release by email to stash@normal.org. Tuesday, March 18th, New Hampshire. On Tuesday, March 18th, the House of Representatives will vote on House Bill 1623, which seeks to decriminalize marijuana possession. If you have not already done so, please contact your representative and urge him or her to vote yes on House Bill 1623. Also, if you reside near the New Hampshire State House, you may wish to meet up with other local activists on Tuesday morning to watch the proceedings and show your support for sensible marijuana law reform. Also, Tuesday, March 18th, in California, volunteers needed for drug war awareness event at the Santa Clara University School of Law in San Jose, California. From 12 p.m. to 1 p.m., Judge Jim Gray is going to speak on behalf of law enforcement against prohibition. In addition to the speaker event, there will be various reform organizations tabling outside between the law library and one of the main campus buildings. You can help by volunteering to table at the event. If you can help out any time from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., please contact Lauren Vasquez at lvasquez821@yahoo.com. And Friday, March 21st, Michigan. Michigan's Oakland County Normal is holding an online fundraiser from March 21st through March 30th for Mark Emery, Michelle Rainey, and Greg Williams, otherwise known as the BC3. A group of activists and businesses have come together to match your donation dollar for dollar, currently up to $500. We are working on more matching sponsorships to push that amount even higher. For more information, check out our website at www.oaklandnormal.org. Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Now, we've got an important alert that we want to let everyone know about here in the cannabis community, especially those of you up in the New England area, specifically the Granite State of New Hampshire. We're joined again by Matt Simon, who's the executive director of the New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense Marijuana Policy. You can find out more about that organization at nhcommonsense.org. And Matt, welcome back to the Stash.
Hi, Russ. Great to be back on.
I hope you're having a good St. Patrick's Day. And during St. Patrick's Day here, you're planning for a big event that's coming up tomorrow. And we want to make sure everybody knows about it so that we can help with a bill that you've got up there in New Hampshire. So let's tell our listeners what they need to know.
Mm-hmm. Bright and early tomorrow morning, the session starts at 10 o'clock in the state legislature, the House of Representatives. We will be meeting at 8:30 in the morning in the cafeteria and putting on some stickers. We've got a bunch of good flyers to hand out. We'll walk up, stand outside of Reps Hall, and hand out those flyers and try to make a good impression on these decision makers as they walk in. We know that a lot of them are still undecided. You know, they see the logic and the arguments that we've put forward, and they're hearing from their constituents and reading the good stories we've gotten in the media, but they're also still afraid to vote for marijuana reform. So a good impression tomorrow will be very key in trying to get the votes we need.
So a hearing on House Bill 1623 at the State House there at 10 o'clock. Everybody's going to meet at 8:30. Now tell people what the HB 1623 is going to do.
Well, it's a pretty standard decriminalization bill. It's really pretty wide open what could happen with it still. As it's written, it's 1.25 ounces or less becomes a civil violation with a $200 fine. There was a committee amendment that reduced the amount to 0.25 ounces. There's a chance that'll be reintroduced if we're able to overturn the committee recommendation. There's a lot of complicated legislative mumbo jumbo that could go on.
Oh yeah.
You know, the big you know, they vote on committee recommendations. It's not like they vote yes or no on the bill. The committee, the Criminal Justice Committee, set, you know, recommended against the bill. So our vote is to say that committee recommendation was wrong and to open up the bill to further discussion on the floor. So the big vote we're gearing up for is to say the committee was wrong. We need to talk about possibly amending this, improving this, or passing this, rather than letting it die.
So the Criminal Justice Committee were against it, recommended against it, but this is now before the full House. And how do the chances look when you're talking about your full House of Representatives there?
Well, it looks pretty close from what I can tell. The medical marijuana bill last year fell 8 votes short, which in a body of 400 legislators. This is the most representative legislative body in the United States. We have basically one rep for every 3,500 people, so it's a huge legislature.
Wow.
And they make $100 a year. So it's really your neighbors, and they're very accessible. So we've done everything we can from a grassroots perspective of getting the information to them. We found, you know, that they were very misinformed about marijuana policy in general and marijuana itself, the substance, at the beginning of this process, and it's been a very educational experience for a lot of these legislators. I don't know what's going to happen with our bill, but I know that win or lose, we've definitely taken some huge steps in educating them about marijuana policy and moving the debate in a very good direction. So I'm hopeful with the bill, but the odds were against us kind of going in on this, and we've gone from, you know, not having any positive media coverage for marijuana issues in this state up to about a year ago to this year. It's been article after article after article, good coverage, and people are talking about the issue in the right ways and understanding some of the real concerns, that it's not just a bunch of people, you know, that want to get high. We're concerned about policy, we're concerned about unintended consequences, and that really resonates with legislators. So
well, I hope they've been paying attention to the latest studies that have shown that there's 1 out of 100 Americans in prison, and maybe that'll help to move them to do something about these nonviolent personal possession types of marijuana cases. And with decriminalization, we could do a lot to ease the burden on our prisons. I know New Hampshire's got to be just as burdened by prison costs as any other state.
Absolutely the case, and one of our most outspoken and effective people has been a prison superintendent who's a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. He testified in favor of the bill and was very persuasive. So they're hearing those arguments. They're hearing the arguments about students losing financial aid and how it affects people's chances at employment. You know, we're trying to explain to people what a minor marijuana arrest can do to somebody's life and call into question the morality of that kind of policy.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize, you know, they think, you know, you get a marijuana arrest, it's no big deal, you don't go to jail most of the time. But you're right. It's all the ancillary harms of not being able to get student aid or losing federal housing or whatever it might be. So that's definitely an educational direction that we need to take. So the more people that can show up to this, again, we just want to remind everybody, it's tomorrow, Tuesday, March 18th. They're going to meet at 8:30 in the morning at the State House cafeteria, and the hearings, the sessions there begin at 10 in the morning. And there'll be flyers and stickers, and make your voice known. When the legislators see the citizens coming out to the State House, they know something's up. You know, most people aren't going to take time to come and represent about a bill. So the more people we can get, the better the chances are going to be.
That's absolutely the case. It does make a difference. I've seen it on piece of legislation after piece of legislation hanging out at the State House. If you can put 20 or 30 or 50 responsible looking citizens there wearing stickers who took They could have been anywhere that day, but they chose to be at the State House. That always makes a difference on the legislature.
Absolutely. Well, again, this is Matt Simon, the Executive Director for New Hampshire Coalition for Common Sense Marijuana Policy. Get more information on the fight to pass HB 1623 at nhcommonsense.org. We'll also have links up at the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. Matt, thanks again for joining us.
All right, Russ. Thank you, man.
And I hope you have a green St. Patrick's Day.
You too.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Well, top of the day to you. We're wishing you a very green St. Paddy's Day. And usually today would be Blue Monday, but today we're feeling a little bit of green instead. So here is some Irish music by the band Celtic Tribe. These Irish rovers aim to inspire and enlighten, and that they do with today's musical pint, Pipe of Inspiration. The lads formed the band in 1991, and they play all over the north of Ireland. So leave your Guinness at home and pick up a pipe of inspiration of your own, or as they say in the homeland, roll a bifta, to celebrate this green holiday. Have a safe and fun St. Patrick's Day. This is Celtic Tribe with Pipe of Inspiration.
Don't want your legal boundaries are cast. I'm breaking down the walls of my mind. Open up the borders of my thoughts. Well, it's material what I leave behind. I'm gonna light me a pipe of inspiration. I'm gonna blow away its troubles from my head. I'm gonna leave this plastic place to plastic people base and travel to a better place instead. The pipes of peace cannot be filled. Inhaled, maybe used to smoke instead. We're not the first, won't be the last. We're the future, but that's from the past. I'm gonna light me a pipe of inspiration. I'm gonna blow away its troubles from my head. I'm gonna leave this past place to nasty people and travel to a better place instead. Are in your world only to live in one world, it must be lonely. We live in two worlds of just one planet. You live off it, and we live on it. But I'm gonna light me a pipe of inspiration. I'm gonna blow away troubles from my head. I'm gonna leave this past place to your past reveries and travel to a better place instead. I'm gonna light me a pipe of inspiration. I'm gonna blow away troubles from my head. I'm gonna leave this plastic place to your plastic beaveries and travel to a better place and travel to a better place and travel to a better place instead.
We turn now to smack dab in the middle of the United States, to the state of Missouri, and we've got Kelly Maddie, who's the president of Joplin Normal in Joplin, Missouri. He's joining us here to talk about what they're doing in the city of Joplin. So, Kelly, welcome to the Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, I understand that you guys have a decriminalization initiative. This would be like a people could get fined, I suppose, rather than being arrested for cannabis?
Right. It's the exact same initiative text that Columbia, Missouri passed in 2004 in the presidential election, a fine of no more than $250, no criminal record. And it's there's also a suggestion in the text to dispose the case for an SIS, which is a suspended sentence, and also no fine. So the first offense should be no fine, but there is a max of $250 if the judge decides to fine the offender.
Okay, so, but the bottom line, no criminal record for the person. They're just going to be getting a fine.
Correct, yeah, no arrest for anything under 35 grams in the city of Joplin.
Oh, well, that's excellent. So, like most of these initiatives, then, I imagine you have to gather a whole bunch of signatures. Are you looking for people to help gather signatures at this time?
Yeah, we are needing help. We do have a good, dedicated group of volunteers collecting signatures right now. But, of course, we could always use an extra push. And we have online forms available for those that are residents here to volunteer and help us out with this effort.
Okay, so let's give the website address here. Your committee that's running the decriminalization initiative can be found under sensiblejoplin.org, and we'll have a link to that up on our Daily Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. What's your goals and what's your deadlines here?
The goal is 5,000 valid signatures. Typically, you have to collect double that to make it onto a ballot, and the deadline is July 1st of 2008.
Oh, so just a few months here to get these signatures together, and if you've already got 5,000, it sounds like you're well on your way.
Yeah, and with the warmer months coming up, we should be able to get quite a few more volunteers out on the streets helping us out.
Now, is Joplin a college town?
Quasi. It has a small college here. I think their enrollment is somewhere around 1,500 to 2,000 students in Joplin, but it's not anywhere near the stature of like an MU in Columbia, Missouri, or a bigger college. But there is a decent amount of students here in Joplin.
So how do the demographics break down then in the city of Joplin? I mean, who are we trying to convince here? Do you feel like you've got a good public backing or public support for this initiative?
I'd say the it's going to be tough. There's a big conservative ideologue majority here in Southwest Missouri, but we do have an objective police chief that is came out and pledged not to oppose this initiative, and is actually in the local paper here, our Joplin Globe, which we have links to on the website, has omitted his prior use of marijuana, and he was a police chief in Oregon and Washington prior to coming here in 2006. So he has never lived under anything but a decriminalization status for small amounts of marijuana. And I think that has kind of pushed some people who wouldn't otherwise support this initiative to kind of take a second look. And he's a real friendly guy and has been real fair with us and objective about the whole process.
Well, that's we're definitely envious of that, and I'm calling you here from Portland, Oregon, so that's the kind of system I've been used to as well. So we're needing 5,000 valid signatures. We're trying to get this done by July 1st, and this is a decriminalization for the city of Joplin, Missouri, and this would go on the ballot along with the presidential election, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, correct. And we figured that would be our golden opportunity to pass something like this inside of Joplin, given the enormous turnouts at the primaries this year, and both more liberal-minded voters here in Southwest Missouri, as well as the youth vote. So we figured if there's any year to put it on a ballot here in Joplin, this would be the one.
Well, excellent. We sure hope that Joplin can join the ranks of other cities like Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Seattle, and other cities that have passed these pro-marijuana initiatives, or at least we could say anti-prohibitionist initiatives. No reason we should be locking people up for the personal possession of marijuana. It just wastes police time and doesn't help the citizens at all. So thank you, Kelly Maddie, who's the president of Joplin Normal, for doing this great work. We also want to remind everyone that the website for Joplin Normal is at joplin-normal.org. That's up at our Stash blog in our state and local section on the left sidebar, so you can find the link there. And Kelly, thanks for joining us here on the Stash today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you with today's cannabis quote from